The October 1st mass shooting at Umpqua Community College rekindled, as all such incidents do, a discussion of gun laws and their merits. Even before that incident, California legislators were making moves to tighten up gun laws. Those include a tweak to the gun-free school zone law. That was a change sought by a number of groups, including the California College and University Police Chiefs Association, for which Stan Skipworth is the Legislative Advocacy Activities Chair and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Stan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mr. Riley. It's good to be with you this morning.
Give us, first of all, I can't believe you guys would say that acronym every time. What do you guys call yourselves?
Well, it doesn't offer to a great acronym, but we do refer to ourselves as CUPCA.
Okay, I had a feeling. CCUPCA takes a long time to say. All right,
yes.
So it is an organization of security chiefs, essentially, from campuses all across the state of California?
That's correct. It includes police chiefs and directors of campus safety and security departments across California's public and private universities and colleges.
So starting there, give us a sense of the great differences in security arrangements campus to campus.
I think what the biggest difference is, as I just alluded to, it's probably born from some campuses having dedicated police departments and the private institutions that have security and safety departments. Typically, those have unarmed, non-sworn personnel who are patrolling and protecting their campus and their constituencies on those campuses.
So, for example, I mean, in your day job, you're the director of campus safety at the Claremont Colleges in Claremont, California. So would that mean you have an unarmed security force there?
That is correct.
Okay. So does CUPCA advocate for a consistency from Shasta College to UC Berkeley? I mean, is there some element of seeking uniformity here?
I think you touched on a very important prevailing theme for us, and that is continuity, consistency. I think it's important that each of the colleges and universities throughout the state of California are ones in which not just those who are working at the campus police or security departments, but also the students, the faculty, the staff, and their families understand that there's consistency amongst one campus to another, and it doesn't necessarily have to define itself exclusively to whether or not there's a dedicated sworn police department, but simply that the rules are more consistent, that the expectations of what steps are being taken to help provide for a more safe and a more secure campus are consistent from one campus to another, regardless whether or not it's a private or public institution, a community college, or a research institution at a university level.
Is there any recommended minimum for what is involved in a campus police force?
The current statutes in California for campus police departments are wholly consistent with those for any municipal or county or state agency, law enforcement agency. They're very consistent. The training is the same. The requirements for the development of the personnel are exactly the same. And the ongoing requirements for training are exactly the same. Plus, everything that we are more and more familiar with in terms of federal statutes to maintain reporting commitments to the local community and to the campus communities through and through, crime activity, different statutes in which federal mandates require us to take additional precautions to help ensure a more safe and secure environment on the campus. There's a lot of additional layers that get incorporated into a campus police department.
Okay. I got curious. I mean, I realize we're going a little off the topic here, but
you're
curious to know what some of the general senses of things are. Stan Skipworth is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Legislative Advocacy Activities Chair for CUPCA, the California College and University Police Chiefs Association. He is the Director of Campus Safety at the Claremont Colleges in Claremont. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about changes to California law as a result of some advocacy by CUPCA. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So tell us about CUPCA's general level of advocacy work in Sacramento. Is this a place you visit frequently?
We do have a regular cycle of activity that takes us up to the Sacramento area and meet with legislators throughout the state to talk about things that we sincerely believe are best steps forward for making our campuses safer and more secure. The largest portion of that is, going back to a point you made earlier, is arriving at a higher level of consistency, greater continuity amongst all college campuses so that the rules are ones that we can work together with. The rules are ones that we can train together with, and thereby we can set up consistent programming that meets those expectations and that our constituencies on the campuses know what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing to help keep them in a better and safer position.
So now, specifically to Senate Bill 707, which Governor Brown did sign, it is not so much a new law as a retake on an old law. There is an existing California Gun-Free School Zone Act. How long has it been on the books, and what did Kupka feel was missing from it?
Yeah, the Gun-Free School Zone Act of 1995, so it's exactly 20 years old now, provided for a commitment to remove or to have a concerted effort to make sure that guns did not find their way onto campuses as much as possible, and to provide prohibitions for a variety of different school settings. What was interesting is that in this particular act, when it was passed, it did allow for those who had been issued a permit to carry a concealed weapon to continue to carry that weapon onto both a K-12 campus as well as a college or university campus. And Kupka recognized that as a very significant vulnerability quite some time ago, and we've been advocating this for the recent past, the last couple of years in particular, and we finally found an opportunity where we felt we could advocate based on not only national events and statewide events, but also just a general trend in what we believe is a good step toward mitigating the opportunity for additional violence when we could remove that. And so we went after the opportunity to exclude the individual who has a permit to carry a concealed weapon from being able to bring that weapon onto campus in the future. And it is specific to the campuses themselves. It doesn't provide for an additional boundary around the campuses. It's just the campuses themselves. And we feel it's a very responsible step.
So no 500 feet, no 1,000 feet. It's just on the campus.
The School Zone Safety Act of 95 talks about 1,000 feet, but when it comes to those who have a permit issued to them, they can continue to have that with them closer to the campus areas, but not on the campus. So it's very specific in that regard. We didn't try to overextend our boundaries or to try to overextend the concept, if you will.
Stan, did the original loophole come from compromise? I mean, you're talking about a gun-free school zone. It's not entirely gun-free when you have people with concealed weapons on campus.
You know, Jeff, you make a great point. It's a kind of an odd name for a piece of legislation that has such a lofty goal. Originally, those who were allowed to continue to carry their firearms under the laws contained within their permits, it was a product of negotiation. I'm sure that there were a lot of those who advocated the ability to carry that, probably saw themselves in some respects as being an avenue of defense in the event that there might be an act or a threat of an act of violence on a school campus.
Stan Skipworth, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Legislative Advocacy Activities Chair for the California College and University Police Chiefs Association, or CUPCA. He is also himself the Director of Campus Safety at the Claremont Colleges in Claremont, California. You can talk with us about gun-free school zones on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. All the phone lines are working despite the fund drive. 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Has there been much measurement over 20 years, Stan, of the effectiveness of the gun-free school zone law?
I think that there are probably several different studies and several different longitudinal assessments, if you will, Jeff, that people would point to and try to demonstrate either that there's a reduction in campus violence or, in some cases, there might be an increase in certain areas, not only in California, but also across the rest of the country. Our indication, the information that we had been reviewing for quite some time, showed us that what we have is a very vulnerable environment. And if you consider it for a moment, it makes a lot of sense. We have people who are coming to college, to achieve their academic goals, and there's an awful lot for them to contend with. There's a lot of study work. There's a lot of other activities going on campus, extracurricular activities, and anyone who's got a permit to carry a concealed weapon, there are also areas in which they're more vulnerable to theft, more vulnerable to people going through different areas that may be less secured. And if someone were to leave, and in particular in what we're talking about, leave behind a firearm that's not properly secured, that becomes something that adds an additional level of threat, because now A, it's been stolen, and B, it's something that represents a very clear and imminent danger to someone else because it could be used for violent reasons. And we just recognize that that type of opportunity need not exist on, you know, in a college campus and certainly not in a K-12 area. So we went back and we wanted to make sure that it was very specific, that we didn't want to try and encroach on any more of the elements of what the Gun-Free School Zone Act of 95 provided for, but just simply eliminate the ability to carry a weapon on campus for those who carry a permit unless they have specific written consent provided by the presiding official of that campus.
Now, I noticed that the executive official of the higher education campus can go ahead and give a waiver, and I'm curious to know, is there a procedure set up within the law for that, or is that something that has to be worked out administratively campus to campus?
I think it's the latter right now. We recognize that each institution, and rightly so, should have the ability to construct and design its administrative remedies to meet that provision on an individual basis. And I know that in all of my colleagues' cases, as we talk about it more and more, each of the presidents and chancellors of those institutions are working diligently to identify a very proper and responsible way to consider in earnest any request for that waiver.
There is the view that I'm sure you've heard that shooters are attracted to gun-free zones because the people there are not defended. And I wonder what, as a police chief and a legislative advocate, you make of that argument.
I don't know that I subscribe to that. It certainly, there are a lot of social examples where people would combine the two elements and come to the conclusion that that's exactly that type of an attraction. I think, unfortunately, what we have is more of a growing, prevailing theme in our society in which the opportunity to commit violent crime is simply just identified as an opportunity by any one or more individuals in a given area. And I think what we have a responsibility to do is recognize that if we take away the opportunity for those to be exploited, we should be acting to do so. Now, what we've done in this case, by removing the ability for those who had permits issued to them, the other piece of that puzzle is looking at in how many occasions do we have in these very tragic and horrific events across the country in which school shootings, for example, have occurred, in which somebody who's been present, who has been armed themselves because they have a permit to carry a weapon, have been able to effectively intercede themselves and stop that threat from continuing. And I think the body of evidence for that is dramatically low, and it seems more responsible for us to continue to identify ways in which we can restrict the access of weapons into highly populated areas or areas of additional risk using steps like we did under Senate Bill 707.
All right, so I think what I just heard you say is you don't subscribe to the idea that more people with guns makes for greater safety.
I really don't.
Right. And are there other moves? I mean, there were a couple of other things that CUPCA pushed for in this legislative session. What are some of the other highlights that you see?
I appreciate that. One of the other things that came up that I thought was very important for us, that it occurred a month ago, was for CUPCA, we were advocating the ability for campus police officers, and again, that's a portion of those whom we represent, the ability to carry body cameras, and in addition to that, be able to do investigative pretextual calls, telephone calls to suspected individuals so that they could do those investigations and get confessions or other compelling statements as part of their investigation, where in the past, the campus police department had to work directly with and coordinate resources directly with a local law enforcement agency. Now they don't have to do that. They don't have to have that type of time delay when they can actually get out there, be in contact with somebody suspected of a violent offense, and take immediate action and hopefully locate and apprehend that suspect. Another key piece that came up was the ability to get Assembly Bill 636 passed. And I think this one is particularly important because it gives us the ability, when we have a violent incident reported to us, but in which our reporting party does not want to pursue prosecution. Last year, there was a bill, Assembly Bill 1433, that put specific restrictions on our ability to share suspect information with our local law enforcement partners. Now we have the relief that even if prosecution is not desired by our reporting party, we can contact the local police department and say, this is someone who is of very grave concern to us, who we have had reported to us has committed an offense. While prosecution is not desired, we think this person represents a great risk to the communities that we share, and we can work with our local law enforcement effectively.
All right, you've been quite busy, obviously. Stan Skipworth is the Legislative Advocacy Activities Chair for the California College and University Police Chiefs Association, or CUPCA. Stan, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
It's been my pleasure, Jeff. Thank you very much.
You bet. Take care.